All right, mate.
Good day, take it away. Folks. Was a good one?
Is that your intro?
Nah.
Cue the intro.
My name's Ivan, and I'm a scientist by day and a writer by night.
And I'm Daniel. I'm a neuromuscular therapist, and I run my own practice.
And you're listening to the weekly podcast, Journey to Wherever.
Enjoy the show. Hey, guys. Episode 71. My name is Daniel.
And I'm Ivan.
You're listening to the Journey to Wherever.
Hope everyone's having a good week, good day, whatever time it is, wherever you are in the world.
Wherever you are, I hope you've started your day on the right track.
Well, what did you have to bring that up for?
do you want to do a little bit of reenactment for our guests?
So we planned to record a show
a slightly little bit later morning stuff. We either do a really late Friday night.
Yes.
Or a really early Saturday morning.
Yeah. So last night we were having a chat away. We decided not to do one at night time. We'll do one in the morning. Usually we do it at about, you know, early morning, say 8-ish, sometimes a bit earlier. And you said, all right, we'll do one tomorrow. So how about 10 o'clock? And I'm like, yeah, that'll work. We'll do that. So I banked it, 10 o'clock. That's what it is. This morning I woke up. Nah, I think it's going to be about 10:30. So I hit you up with a text. Dude, it's more realistically going to look like 10:30. I'm in the car driving along. I pull into a servo and grabbed a couple of energy drinks. I looked at my phone. I see a text message. I'm leaving now. And I'm like, what do you mean you're leaving now? I'm leaving now. So I call you up and you're like,
ring. So then I come in and I'm like, I was on the phone to your sister and I was like, oh, hey, honey, just give me a sec. Your brother's trying to give me a call. She's like, okay, no worries. I answer the phone. I'm like, hey, dude, what's going on? And you're like, dude,
where are you?
I'm like, I'm on the way to yours. And you're like, I'm on the way to yours. I was like, okay. And then I thought, okay, this could be fairly good damage control. We're not over yet. Like, where are you? And we practically described
opposite sides of the road almost.
We're pretty much on the opposite side of the road to each other. Maybe like, I don't know, maybe 200 meters slightly ahead of me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, dude, we're at this like suburb nearby. And I was like, I just drove past that. I was like, shit, damn it. And I was like, all right, I'll turn around. I'm with you at mine.
So here we are. I'm glad you didn't knock on my door because you wouldn't knock on my door. And we're like, I'm here to do the podcast with Ivan. And my wife would have been like, I thought Ivan was with you. Where the heck's Ivan? But anyway, we're here.
It would have been really funny though. Part of me really actually wanted to do the trek to yours just to see the look on Nat's face. She would have looked at me and I would have then realized there's something terribly wrong because she would have looked really sus and thought, well, I thought he was going to yours. I was like, well, I'm actually technically here, so I should be here. He should be here too.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a mistake. It was just a miscommunication.
Yeah, it was.
But no, it was a good laugh. But we're here now and recording the show. It is episode 71.
Yeah.
And I was about to lead into something, but I totally can't remember what I was going to say.
I can lead into something.
Okay.
I've got a bit of a how do you like your steak for you this morning?
Oh, please don't say my hair.
No.
Come on, man.
You brought that up.
I thought you were going to say Iman, that. Don't.
Okay.
My hair's hideous.
It's funny that like, you're apologetic about your hair because I've turned up to this podcast with some like dodgy styles. I wasn't even call it a style. I'll call it a boof.
You look like a commercial
now,
for a,
now it looks
a
okay.
gel,
I've presented
a
myself
gel
this
product
morning.
Where you've got this mad wave. I right now look like I'm...
a lost Amish child.
Yes. I look like I'm an elf that got fired from Santa's workshop because my hair
you're
was hideous.
Too big.
just looks hideous. Anyway, I need a haircut.
Anyways, I've got a how do you like your steak for you this morning.
Hit me up.
How do you like the first 5 episodes of Vikings?
So far?
Yeah.
Good.
No, it's not.
Sorry. I fucked
it's
up.
Not good.
Sorry. Hold on.
How do you like your steak? Vikings, episodes 1 to 5.
Medium.
Medium rare.
Medium.
Dude, there's only well done, medium rare, or rare.
No. There's blue. There's rare. There's medium rare, there's medium, there's medium well, then there's you fucked up.
I know that, but the context of our little segment that we have is 3 levels of choices.
Okay, tell me the choices.
So
quickly.
The choices are, or the categories are well done, meaning it's rubbish,
because
it's not a good steak.
Yep.
The other spectrum is rare, so it's like, it's not rubbish, but it's kind of salvageable.
Okay.
Or medium rare, meaning it's on point, it's ready to go.
If you give me 3-point scale, I'm going to have to pick the middle one and just say medium rare because I'm enjoying it.
You're enjoying it?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. It interesting. Is, yeah. I'm on a rare at the moment. I feel like, and then I think I said this last night.
You're not binging it. That's the problem.
That's right. I was speaking to Nat, and she's like, and I said, I think maybe it's because normally when I've watched Vikings, I've probably punch out two sessions of like two or three episodes, and by that stage, I've done like a season.
Yeah. So you roll into the action.
I'm like rolling yeah. into it. Whereas like, I think they're like 45, 50 minute episodes.
Yeah.
It's good.
So I'd say medium. I'd say medium.
Look, I'm not bagging it. It's definitely a good show. I just want this thing to kind of like, come on. Like,
well, the only way out of that is to stop watching it and wait until you get a bank.
Yeah, but people ruin it. That's the problem.
That's the thing.
Yeah. Then it'll turn into something else.
But no one ruined it before for you before you watched it. So
that's true.
And you don't spend a lot of time on social, so you don't really have all that much to worry about. Unless you watch the news. That shit gets you.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think it's medium.
I think a lot of people are watching it now. I've got clients that haven't watched Vikings before.
They didn't start on this season.
They're like binging crazy. And then now they're catching up.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like those people will kind of flood in. And I think I had quite a few clients do the same thing with Game of Thrones. They hadn't watched that at all. And then because it was like they were doing the big saga at the end when it was like playing on Australian TV.
Yeah.
Everyone just started, I don't know how many episodes there are or how many seasons.
But Vikings is good though. I mean, we haven't got to the last episode yet, so I can't say it's a comparative letdown to Game of Thrones. So if it is, I'll be very disappointed. I tell you what, I'll be more disappointed now.
This
is the thing,
let's
right?
Let's make a prediction.
This is the thing. If Vikings' last episode is a letdown,
okay,
that letdown will be greater than the letdown I experienced on the last episode of Game of Thrones. Purely because I paralleled Vikings against Game of Thrones because Game of Thrones had the last episode letdown and I therefore discredited the series on that very basis, which is probably stupid of me, but I did it anyway because I'm a little bit extra. So hopefully Vikings doesn't do that.
If you had to predict, just kind of give it a bit of a...
If I had to predict what's going to happen?
Yeah. Have you read into the history though? Because I haven't.
Not enough to be able to determine. But if I look at where the current state of the world is today,
yeah,
what I would predicting is the Vikings kind of live their own little community in Kattegat. Until they just eventually just kind of... out and die off. There's not really much for them to conquer.
Yeah.
The English eventually muscle up and take over a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
The
next five episodes, that's what's going to happen.
I think the Rus kind of become a power, but they don't really... They kind of just conquer another part of the world.
Okay.
And they'll just take over. Like you've got... Because I think they end up in history, they end up going along the borders of like... Is it Mongolia or something? I'm not sure about history. Yeah.
Yeah. They travel east.
Towards that east. Way. Yeah. So I think they'll do that. They'll go off and conquer the Asia part of the world.
Yeah.
And the English will take over a little bit more. They'll come up as the primary religion of Christianity.
Yeah.
And
speaks to their flags.
Exactly. Yeah. And the Vikings will kind of be there, but it'll be like they just live in peace, but you know...
Eventually
they die off as a Viking thing, and then you get the current day Scandinavia.
I
don't think it's going to be this catastrophic big thing where you're like, oh my God, because King Harald, he's king, right?
Of all Norway.
I mean, no spoilers, but people listen this far, they'll know. Yeah. But anyway, that's my prediction.
I get the feel that Ivar comes back with Vitsek. And they're kind of like in this kind of semi-battle type thing. Like between who's going to like take over Kattegat and whatever. And then what's the other dude's name? Uber. Because you know he's traveling on the boat with that Christian guy?
Yeah.
Some way he kind of finds God through Christianity.
Yeah.
Uber again. And somehow like I think he then...
Brings Christianity back.
I think he brings like with the support of the English army... into Scandinavia.
Somehow I also
predict... I kind of feel like he's going to be like the king of kings, if that makes sense.
I predict that... what's the guy who... The boat builder. I forgot his name now.
Floki. I wonder where Floki is.
Dude. Well, he apparently looked like he fizzled out, like perished in the mountain. But I have a prediction that Floki's still roaming around somewhere.
Yeah.
And they're going to take Floki back. Floki's seen God. Everyone loved Floki.
Because there was the episode at the end of the last season.
Where he looked at the cross in the mountain.
And he's like, oh, this must be like...
So I think that's where they plant the seed for Christianity back in the...
Back into the Viking days.
We'll have to wait and see.
Still,
but anyway.
Still rare for me, but still good. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
What's been floating around in your brain cells, man?
Mate, a lot of things. Apart from my hideous haircut, which is funny, leading off the back of our Vikings talk, because it's not going to be a Vikings episode, I don't think. Now that I'm thinking
it's
about
kind of a bit
around.
Of a Vikings.
But I was flicking through Twitter this morning and I saw a BuzzFeed story. I don't read BuzzFeed anyway, but I saw a BuzzFeed story that had Elon Musk and Grimes giving their child a Vikings haircut.
Who's Grimes?
His wife.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Anyway.
And then I was looking at myself in the mirror,
Viking,
and I'm like,
"Which one? Like a pre a young Bjorn haircut, or a
they
or
gave? Well, they gave they
or
gave
a Ragnar Lothbrok haircut.
More like a young Bjorn kind of haircut. It's so, shaved on the sides, hair on the top.
And they got the long sideburns.
No, she kind of just did it herself with a pair of scissors. So it's very like jaggedy, rough looking.
Because they don't believe in taking their children to a barbershop.
I have no idea. I'm sure the scissors were five times more expensive than a barber haircut anyway.
Yeah.
But they gave like she was given a kid a Vikings haircut.
Mm-hmm.
And then say, so, oh, he's looking like a mini Viking. I'm looking in the mirror looking like a freaking elf. And then I was like thinking a little bit more back to my... This is what's been happening lately, right? Every now and then Musk trends on social media.
No, he doesn't trend.
He does.
He trolls.
Well, he trolls there and then therefore trends.
Yeah.
So by correlation or causation, one or the other.
Both.
Maybe both. he trends because he trolls, and trolls because he trends. But he has such a massive swing. And I know we've had a number of episodes about Musk on the podcast.
He's been mentioned a few times.
He has. And I think people kind of gravitate to it because those episodes are reasonably popular episodes of ours. So I would say that people probably like Elon Musk to some extent. I mean, you know, your the people that you connect with, that you speak about, do they have a general good vibe towards Elon Musk?
I think it's mixed.
Okay.
I think that everyone's aware that he's this wizard that is, you know, probably has capabilities of, you know, taking over the world. You know what I mean? Yeah, some people like him. Some people
but
he, don't
but the
like
strangeness
him.
Around his think, life shadows a little bit.
I think there's an overall collectiveness of, yeah, he's a bit of a strange dude.
Which I think is good.
Which is, you know, you can't be... We've had episodes before. You can't about people that are genius, people that are great at what they do. You can't have his brain and be normal.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible.
Yeah.
There's a certain aspect that's going to be strange about him, or appear strange, because he's just such a super intelligent dude. So that's probably why he comes across as a bit weird.
I think so. I think he's I think with any level of high level of intelligence comes a level of eccentricity, which I think is cool. I like that.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, nonetheless, so
nothing like a bit of weird's always good.
Yeah, and I've kind of been seeing him trend a little bit, and every time he kind of tweets something, he'll just have to tweet the word like He just tweet like Bitcoin, just the word Bitcoin, and freaking Bitcoin jumps like 200%. It's ridiculous the swing of power he has by saying
he does.
One word.
He's got massive leverage.
He
with
does, and
he's
now that he's
say.
Tipped the is the is tipped the scale of being the most wealthiest person in the world. Now he's the richest person on earth.
I saw that the other week.
Yeah, he's grown very.
So he's trumped Bezos,
dude, and it happened. Yeah. He's jumped from being whatever number he was to number one happened relatively quick.
Wow.
And
this is after a year or two ago, he had a giant puff on the Joe Rogan Experience, and his credits, or not credits, his stock plummeted, but apparently now he's the most rich.
It's ridiculous. It's and I think he crazy. Knows it. I think he knows that he's got such amount of power. He's just
he's very much a two steps backwards, three steps forwards kind of guy.
Yeah. And I kind of reflect back and I'm like, maybe I was a little bit harsh because I said I'm never going to buy a Tesla again.
Probably
but...
you did go 0 to 100, which I expected you to.
I went from 0 to 100.
But I wouldn't be surprised. Look, maybe he did it on the natural. Maybe he was completely genuine. But maybe I thought a guy like Elon's probably smart enough to go, I wonder if Joe Rogan's going to offer me a joint on the podcast. He's like, you know what? This might be a good way to get rid of a few of the old fuddy duds off my list, yeah. and be with the cooler crowd, buying a Tesla.
Yeah. But yeah, I was thinking recently a lot about you know, his adventures and ambitions about traveling intergalactically. Well, not, we can't say intergalactically. It's more like out of space to Mars, right? And I was having this conversation last night. I proposed it at the dinner table. We're all sitting around the dinner table, my family, and we were kind of having dinner. I was talking about imagine if we actually, as a species, colonized Mars. And then I just got into this spiral of talk around humanity now and the current state and what would happen if we colonized. And it really got me thinking around what it would be like if we actually truly landed on Mars and colonized it. Mm-hmm. And I think he's the first real ticket for that to happen. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of people, there's a lot of rich people, including Jeff Bezos and a few others, but I'm gunning for Musk because I'm not a fan of Bezos.
What?
Let me don't want to get into it. So,
okay.
I so I'm
that was
I'm,
very quick.
Hey, right. Whatever. He might be that, this might that might have been our ticket off the Amazon Audible store, but anyway.
let's not get you to 0 to 200.
That's, yeah. So I'm betting on Musk to make the landing there and do something there.
Okay, vote one Musk.
Huh?
Vote one Musk.
Yeah, vote one Musk. And
that's pretty cool. Vote one Musk. Yep. Musk, you get it? Remember when Kevin Rudd got his thing was Kevin 07? Got a bit of a twing to it.
Yeah, exactly. Kevin 07, that's a good role.
Kevin 07, it's like vote one Musk. Like
vote one Musk. Vote exactly. One
Musk.
Musk for Mars president 2024. And and so, yeah, I'm kind of gunning for him to get it. And okay. Then I kind of reverse engineered my thoughts around colonizing Mars and what it would mean.
Okay.
And I'll first propose this hypothesis and thought I've got. And it depending on how deep you think into it, it could be a little bit controversial and you're like, what does that mean? And how I think some people might get offended because they'll take it in the wrong way. Mm-hmm. But I'm coming from a scientific evolutionary biological hat right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think humanity is on a
decline.
Not on a decline. I think they are on a fork in the road where the human being, Homo sapiens, the evolutionary path that we have been on for quite a number of years now,
very long
is
time.
Splitting.
I think we've been spending for longer than that, man. Hey? I think the fork is just like.
Is it
a fork?
It's a fork. I think
it's just one way or the other
yes,
at the moment.
Yes.
Okay. I think there's multiple ways, but yeah, keep going.
Well, I think it's splitting in a fork. That fork will be driven by whether or not we colonize another planet, which is why I've said that. If we stay on Earth, we will evolve into the next species after humans. Because if you go on Wikipedia, for example, and you look up humans, it's like reading an article, not about us. It's like reading an article about an animal on Earth, because that's what we are.
Yeah.
And it talks about us as how we procreate and what defines us as human and our the way we use our hands, our cranial structure,
how we hunt and gather and all that kind of stuff.
Gathering about how long we keep our children with us, you know, our sexes and all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So as a biological human, we're at that point now, but I think we are evolving. And if we stay on Earth, we will evolve into the next stage of whatever scientists call us after humans. Okay. And it might be like humanoids or some other word of human.
I know what they'd call them.
Right?
I think they'll call them, if Musk gets there, we'll all be Neuralink humans.
Well, that could happen on Mars.
That's what I mean.
Or if it happens on Earth, it could be humanoids.
I'm talking about those type of humans will probably be like on Mars first. The Neuralink humans.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Right? But on Earth, I think the IQ of human beings has been increasing over time very quick. We're getting smarter, we're getting better at using tools, we're getting better at using resources, we're developing and advancing as humans. But I think there is a there's
almost been to our decline, though, in a sense.
It has, but
to the original human.
If anything, if I've learned anything over the last, you know, decade of just watching humanity and the way it's evolving, I think there is a part of humanity and the decisions we make that are just stupid.
Yeah.
And I think as an intellectual race, I think that portion of it is declining in some regard. And the way we treat each other, the way that we, the decisions we make, the way we just question the very fabric of science in many areas, it's almost like we're deluding ourselves and going back to a mystic time, mm-hmm. where it's like you point at the sky and go, oh, the sky is this green swirly thing. And it's like, no, it's not. It's like, no, we're telling you it is. So that's what it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, everyone just goes, oh, it is green. And
sugarcoating.
It's, we're kind of like mystically creating this human race in many areas of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that is the decline in our progression.
Yeah.
But there is a sector of humanity that will accelerate quicker than other parts of the species. And if you just look at a figure that might be doing that, hypothetically,
mm-hmm.
I would argue that the way that Musk is engineering humanity and everything like that, you could, in a sci-fi novel, say, well, that's the potential tangent that one sect of humanity is going to go off on and evolve down that path. Fast forward a little bit, we take that group to Mars and we colonize Mars.
Mm-hmm.
So the first person to go on Mars will be the first
leader.
Civilian on Mars. They'll live there.
Yeah.
There might be a delegate of the leader because technically if he lands there, you know, he stakes the thing in the ground.
Yeah.
He would be the first person. Then another person will be the first person. If they procreate, have children, that baby, the first child born on Mars, is not a human. They are a...
Why aren't they a human?
Well, they come from humans.
Yeah.
So they're human, but the first born child on Mars, so they're the first Martian. Human-born Martian.
Martian, okay.
Do that twice, you've got two Martians. As soon as they mate...
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
They have a child. That will be the first pure blood Martian.
Mm-hmm.
That's a significantly historical point in time, which will completely change everything humanity on Earth has ever known. And then that is the first planting of the seed of colonization in Mars.
Okay.
Now, fast forward again, they keep doing that. Mars develops. Somehow the atmosphere in Mars changes, there's more gases, water starts to melt, they can create life, produce, food, you know, silos, cells to be able to live there until eventually, in a long period of time, 100,000, 200,000 years,
yeah.
you've got this Martian species that's there. They would get their telescope out, look at Earth, and Earth... If you follow the track of what I've said of being there on the decline of potential intelligence and progression, Earth will be mere Earthlings. they will be an inferior species and race to Mars creatures.
Would they though? Because what you're saying, I see what you're saying, and it would make sense, but it's like it's purely hypothetical.
It's hypothetical, but it's purely very probable.
Like, I get the whole full-blood Martian and all that kind of stuff, but what we've got to question is, if you could put that full-blown, full-blood Martian and just send them back to Earth, they'd just be a normal person.
No, they wouldn't. Not if they've lived on Mars.
Why wouldn't
because they? Because they would have grown and evolved differently over How? Time. Because the gravity on Mars is different.
So they'd be like a different species.
Yeah, the amount of sunlight and stuff that gets different. They will be they are inherently a different species. They are not humans. That's my point. Yeah. By that point we would have become different species.
Humans are defined by what's on Earth, essentially.
Humans are defined by the evolution, the biological makeup of what defines a human.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at, because you've got chimpanzees, orangutans, apes, gorillas, humans, we're primates.
Yeah.
Scientifically, we are primates, right?
So it's just another evolution of a human, though.
It's another... Well, no. Humans are evolutions of primates. Humans are a species of a primate.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm.
So if you go and take a human... Because our cranial structure is changing over time, right? That's right. But if you go and fast forward us another 100,000 years, our cranial structure will be a different shape again. We're evolving on that pattern. We have been and we still will. We come out, our species, what is a genus? They call it genus or something like that, will still be from the primates, but it can very, very well over a very significant amount, say 100,000, 200,000, 300,000 years, will be very different to what we look like now.
Yeah.
So if you look back at the old articles like Roswell days, for example, like Roswell, the aliens that were hypothetical, well, arguably conspiracy theories, true, I don't know, discovered.
Extraterrestrial
people. They look like, to some extent,
A human. Well, they've got, you know, a torso,
as far as arms, a shape,
legs, but a funny shaped head.
Exactly. So
an ever-evolving shaped head.
Exactly. So you would argue if they are real, they would have to have come from either Earth, traveled at some point, or come back in from the future or something like that.
Yeah.
Which could arguably be possible if we work out the science behind time travel, right? Because you can go forward in time. We know that mathematically. That is possible. Mm. You can go forward in time, but you can't go back in time.
Yeah.
But if somehow there was a way that maths determined that reverse time travel was possible, they could come back in time. So, regardless, someone's come from Earth.
Let's talk about the more the evolution of the human, though.
This is the evolution of the human.
And then I'll kind of pose a question for you in a second.
Because aliens could be an those aliens we know from Roswell could be an example of an evolved human, because we know that the geographical makeup, the atmospheric makeup, the just the general conditions that are on Earth have created the species of human we know today through evolution. So they used to be like lizard things. They've kind of crawled, kind of ran, stood up, their backs straightened up. And we are today Homo sapien where we are now because of evolution.
Yeah.
So that there is evolution. My point is take the biggest part of the evolution, yes, the using of the hands is what I guess progressed humanity a lot, because we had to use tools and stuff. But now our ability to progress is becoming more and more and more focused on our brain, because we're very, very, very heavily integrated into technology. So it becomes a brain technology link. So that's really the core of the evolution. Musk is doing that part.
Yeah. With Neuralink.
With Neuralink.
Yeah.
But even if you don't take that, just the sheer level of intelligence and creation of things that continue to facilitate that evolution is arguably a path down the new evolutionary scale and could change human brains the more you stimulate it, because the brain's plastic.
Yeah.
So the more you stimulate such a change,
The neuroplasticity all changes.
The neuroplasticity of the brain changes. So it's like this roll-on effect of evolving the brain. So the plasticity of your brain changes the evolution, the evolutionary path, keeps going down that path, and you've got this new species.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thought.
Not necessarily a question. I'm kind of thinking, going by what you're saying, I kind of get the feeling that you're saying that in a pure hypothetical sense, that the humans that go to Mars will be a better version of what's on Earth.
Yes.
I question that in a sense, like what defines better? On what scale? Communication, physical attributes.
Well, if I think
the way we think, the way we move.
I would hope.
Because one would say, right? Like anything, like because we went from a primate, whereas essentially they're kind of like on their spine was essentially 45 degree angle to the floor, whereas now we're completely vertical.
Yeah,
it's not the best structure moving forward because of all the things that happens with our spine, degeneration, like we're essentially more prone to injury. Whereas if you're on all fours, we're technically a better moving species, right?
Better moving species when we need to move that much. But we don't need to anymore.
But we don't need to. This is what I'm saying. So, but we need to understand what defines a better human.
I'm talking intellectual.
Okay. All right.
Because to me now, I put...
Are you putting something that's is intellectual a better species over something that, say, athletically moves better?
depends on what the need is.
Well, if you're on a different planet and things need to be moved and pushed.
Look, put it this way. Stuff,
but we're smarter, but we are on a physical scale, a lesser human. Are we better?
Put it this way. Humans, the way they are now, they will end up in my, if I'm predicting it, if I'm kind of postulating a little bit here, I think humanity will end itself.
Yeah.
I think we don't care enough about each other. And I know people say we do. We're humans care, but I think we're becoming stupider because we're turning against each other for too many things.
Yeah.
And we're questioning our very existence as a human race and what we are to the point where we're causing such a divide that we're going to turn on ourselves. And human beings, for stupid reasons like money, like resources that come from the earth, religion, all of these things have continued to and still do continue to fight amongst each other.
It causes rucks and cracks everywhere.
And wars, for example, to the point where
wars constitute from beliefs,
from many things.
Yeah.
And I think humanity's own selfishness to try and be better than your neighbor in a non-friendly way,
yeah,
at the very fundamental level,
yeah,
will be its own demise. Okay. And not allowing the natural evolutionary path of human beings to progress and develop and evolve will eventually be our demise.
Mm-hmm.
We become very good at matrix level stuff of producing children in say for example in vitro fertilization, or which is needed in many areas, but eventually if you get to the point where it becomes the norm,
yeah,
and you feel like that human beings to propagate should just be created through laboratory creation,
yeah, through IVF, yeah,
then that could, if you do it enough, you may get to a point where it becomes the norm, yeah, right?
And it's
massive tangent.
It becomes more reliable than essentially the natural,
yeah,
way.
Yeah, and then you could say, well, if that's the case, do you need man? Do you need woman?
Mm-hmm.
What plays a part in that role? No, so you
essentially wouldn't need it.
And then where do you get things like sperm or the egg from? Like, can you fabricate that stuff? What happens in an evolutionary process? So I think the human species as we know it today will change on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to fight amongst ourselves and simple things like war, then yes, having a more athletic posture would benefit humans on Earth for that process.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you take the most intelligent of the species to another planet,
yeah,
you colonize that planet with the most intelligent of the species, the most morally caring of the species.
Begin the process of choosing the most intelligent.
I don't think it's a choice. I think it has to happen naturally.
Yeah.
And if it does, it's a probability of whether or not it will happen or not. So I'm curious to see if that could actually manifest in a greater species.
Yeah.
Because you could, for example, someone like who's got so much money, like Elon Musk, does colonize Mars.
Yeah.
Some people say, well, he's a great candidate for going there. He's intelligent. He's got a lot of money. He can engineer a lot of things. But yeah, a lot of people will be like, but his morals are different. He's not correct. He looks at people in different ways. They might question that and think he's not the right candidate.
Yeah.
But if you could take an intelligent, unbiased species that can look at multiple arguments,
yeah,
have good communication,
uh-huh,
care about the propagation of life, be willing to lay down rules and laws to govern the way people should treat each other.
Yeah.
And have a way of kind of controlling that to a point. I think you're in, because Earth tried that, but I think we've failed.
Earth has always had that stable thought as a baseline, but people are going to be people. There are some that are naturally inclined for the good.
Yeah.
And there are some that don't think they are bad, but they are just wired to a way of selfishness and greed,
yes,
and all that kind of stuff. I question whether too many Elon Musks on a new planet is going to be good. And I'm going to use a Vikings reference here.
Yeah.
Where I would imagine, and tell me if I'm wrong here, that Floki, for example,
yeah,
is like the Elon Musk of Kattegat. He's like the boat builder. He's a bit of a like a bit of an outside thinker, very clever kind of guy, right? Yeah. He decides at one point that he's seen this new land.
Yeah.
Who wants to come with me? His intentions are like the purest of forms.
Yeah.
He wants to, he's selling it to people like, let's start a new civilization where there's no kings. Let everyone help each other. All the things that you're saying. Okay? All the good stuff that you're saying. The selection process, though, is a tricky one because the people are going to tell you the right things of wanting to go to this new planet or this new land.
Yeah.
But there's always going to be that mole, that rotten apple, someone that kind of just, you know, doesn't fit the right mold.
Yeah.
They get there, it's not what they expect it to be what was promised, all based on assumption and precipitation. And then there ends up being infighting to a point where, like in Vikings, they all end up killing each other. And there's only like this small, tiny little, colonization on this new land, what they call Iceland.
Yeah. Right?
I would imagine something like that would happen on Mars, for example.
Yeah.
Only because someone would lay down the base rules, like, for example, in Elon Musk, that everyone should follow based on the fact that let's look at Earth. Let's look at what they've done wrong. Mm. Naturally, you would do that, right?
Mm.
Why are we going to this new place? Because this place, they've fucked it up. We've got to try and make it better.
Mm.
So you essentially, in a way, put rules down. You put lay down all these different things to essentially be a better race.
Yeah.
Right? Or better human, whatever you want to call it. You all go over there. I would imagine the same thing would probably happen. Not that it would stay bad and it would be war-torn forever, but the very first maybe 50 years, it'll just be like, not to, you know, throw water over your idea, but I think in hindsight, it sounds like a good thing to do, but just the way humans are, I think we're inclined. There's this natural incline.
The way animals are. We are inclined to do that because they'll always try and be an alpha because that's in our genetic code.
Always. And this is what I was getting at.
We're primal.
Yeah.
I understand all that, so, and I agree that would probably happen.
It's a natural inclination to. There's always going to be someone that leads,
yeah,
that gathers followers, and it overrules the original leader, and then all of a sudden everything, all the blueprint that was laid out, just gets scrapped, and it gets started again. Now, that outlier probably makes it better or makes it worse. We don't know.
No, that's right.
Because we're using the base foundation of humans, I don't think it'd be any different, personally.
Mm.
I like the idea of it.
Yeah,
I think it'd be cool.
And I think my unraveling of my story and hypothesis is not so much to say would it be necessarily a better thing or a good thing to do, because I agree the natural progression of life, because you'll colonize Mars and then 300,000 years after that you'll colonize Jupiter.
Yeah.
It's just going to keep going.
Just going to keep going.
Right? Until eventually...
They'll find a way to do
until something. Eventually there's we like get the big crunch and...
multiple Earths.
Yeah, that's right.
Earth-like planets.
Yeah. So I think, yes, you're correct. It will happen.
You just got to use a different species.
I think my claim is... And the thing I'm trying to argue is I think we are at a point now, though. I'm trying to look in real time of the unraveling of it and tell the story as it's kind of happening. I think human beings are at that point now where we're starting to diverge... as a species,
yeah,
and then that new subset of divergent species is potentially going to happen on another planet.
Yeah,
I would go so far as to say I think in our lifetime,
mm-hmm.
on our lifetime, we will see the first civilians live on, the first colonization happen of Mars.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm pretty confident in that. Touch wood, I get to live that long to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would argue that in our lifetime now, we will see the colonization of Mars. Not another planet, but of Mars, nice. And potentially the first birth on there. That in and of itself is witnessing in real time the evolution of species that live within the Milky Way galaxy,
mm-hmm.
or at least our solar system.
Yeah.
Forget Earth. We're so... People, this is the thing.
Can you forget Earth, though?
Huh?
Can you forget
Earth? Yes.
I don't think you can.
You can when you look at such... Because
these people are essentially hybridizations of Earth now.
No, no. You can forget Earth when you... the fastest way to forget Earth is to stop thinking human beings are at the center of everything. Because we're not. We are so insignificant in the grand... And we don't want to hear this. We don't want to say it. But it, for lack of a better term, brings us back down to Earth when we hear it.
Mm-hmm.
We're so insignificant in the grand scheme of the universe. We are so insignificant. We don't even come on the timescale of being a blip in the evolution of the universe. That our current conversation now doesn't even show up as a signal remotely anywhere in the universe. It is that insignificant.
Mm.
So we as a race, as a living race here right now, we're insignificant. We like to hope as species, and I'm a spiritual person, so I believe in soul and consciousness and what happens to that. I like to focus and think, well, after all this happens, hopefully that consciousness is somewhere and I'm aware of that consciousness through self-realization.
Yeah.
But as a race, as a species, as a planet, we're a blip.
Earth
will break apart one day.
Yeah.
And it will be dust.
Are you saying
and
though...
There's another race out there that's probably thinking the exact same thing.
Are you saying that because... I get what you're trying.
And it's not a doomsday view.
No. I know where you're coming from. You're trying to say that we shouldn't be so self-focused. We should implore more humility, and that will essentially better our decision.
Better the quality of the experience we have now.
I see what you're getting at, but does that necessarily mean it's better though? Don't we need a bit of that though? We can't all think that. We're just nothing. So we, you know,
not at all. I think when you release yourself from that
you've got
selfish
to feel like
thought,
you are important though, as well.
No. When you release yourself from thinking you're at the center of everything, you therefore can. I think it's the gateway to appreciating the fact and living in the moment, where you can start to go, you know what?
I agree.
I'm not at the center of everything. So you know what I'm going to do instead? Because this is the perfect analogy. You're at a cinema. If you walk into the cinema, you sit in the middle and go, everyone's here to watch me. I'm the center of the theater.
Yeah.
You're eating your popcorn thinking everyone's watching you. No one cares about you.
Everyone's watching
the show. But if you sit there eating your popcorn and think, I'm the center of the theater, I'm the greatest because my life's so significant, I'm the best. How I got here is, you know, I drove in the best car. I walked all over the cashier when they didn't serve me the right popcorn. I paid gold class seating for the ticket. Like, I am the greatest. And you think you're the center of the theater.
Yeah.
As soon as you release yourself away from thinking of the center of the theater, you step back and you watch the show, you'll enjoy it more. And I think if you release yourself from thinking of the center of everything, if people do that,
mm-hmm.
and it gives you the ticket to enjoy the show, you'll enjoy your experience
here.
Enjoy
life, essentially. Yeah.
I think as human beings, the quicker we are able to separate ourselves from... If you can look at things from an unbiased point of view, look at things both positively and negatively at the same time, but not be bothered by either one or,
mm-hmm.
and go, okay, and move on,
yeah,
and just live it, I think you're in a good spot.
You do understand that it requires a lot of... I see what you're saying, and I 100% agree.
I don't think all humans are wired to do that.
No. I was just about to say, like, I don't know what the statistic is, but not enough people have the self-realization, the humility, and the humbleness to kind of, like, you know, when someone realizes they're wrong. Yep. Most people, when they realize they're wrong deep to the core, they'll come with an if and the but, and they'll pass the buck. They just don't have the ability to, what's the word I'm looking for, to just kind of like own it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Own you, who you are, what mistake you might have made, so that you can kind of progress,
yep.
as a human.
Yep.
We just don't have that these days, no. because there's so much noise that enables us to flick the blame onto something else. oh, I only crashed into your car because the sun was kind of in the corner of mine and I didn't have my glasses on because someone else distracted. There's always something else that's allowing us to make excuses.
Yeah.
Okay. And I see where you're coming from. And if we can all implore that, then we probably wouldn't need to go to Mars, no, to be honest.
And I think that the clearest manifestation and evidence to show that not all human beings are able to do that is because as soon as one person tries to do that now, and
they
tries to live that,
they get smashed.
They get smashed and, and trolled and they're just speaking and pointed at
their own and, honest truth. They're being true to themselves, but for whatever reason, because what they are saying is outside of the box, it's now deemed as, oh, you're against us. You're being, you know, what are the words I'm looking for here without trying to say too much? But like you get in trouble.
You're called out as being a different person. As being different.
Different from the group.
You're pointed at. You're bad.
You're ostracized.
You don't care about the rest of humanity. It's just lots of things.
In general, I'm trying to get the basis here of what you're trying to say with like, let's go into it to a different planet. It's to avoid all the ostracization and all those different...
Not even that. My argument's not that by going to another planet.
That's a good part of it because the reason why we are in decline is because we're just, everyone's tiptoeing around everything.
Not even that. What I'm saying is this. All I'm doing now is sitting in the cinema watching the show.
Okay.
And I'm telling you what I'm seeing on the show. That is all. To me, it doesn't matter whether we go to Mars and we become a successful new Martian race. It's irrelevant. The experience is what I'm interested in.
Okay.
That is all. We'll go there. Things will happen. Time will tell.
Yeah.
Another Martian race will happen. They will progress. And it is what it is.
Okay.
I'm simply making commentary on
the actual events happening. Okay.
That is all.
Is this more an observation? Would the grass maybe be greener on the other side?
It might be. It might be worse. I don't know.
I don't know.
But I'm fascinated by the idea.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by going there and seeing what happens.
Yeah.
And I would want it to be better.
Of course.
You because want the selfish part of me, because I can be selfish.
Yeah.
Just like I can be unselfish. The selfish part of me goes, well, I want it to be better. And if mankind doesn't get their shit together, they deserve to fail as a species. And I would like someone on Mars to look through the telescope and go, bye-bye, measly Earthlings. You didn't listen when the intelligent people were telling you to get your shit together. Now you are where you are because you didn't pull yourself together. People went to Mars and made it.
It's not even intelligent people, just people that just have a better outlook on how to communicate in general.
Yeah.
Because we lack communication. As much as we think that we're great communicators.
I think we need to do better at a lot of those things.
Yeah, we can. I don't think humans communicate well. Although it's funny saying that. Because we've got so many levels of communication now with, you know, socials and whatnot. I don't think we actually know how to properly communicate. And when we try and convey a message, that's where it gets lost in translation and everybody gets up in arms and essentially wants to kill each other, really.
Yeah. And I think it's because we're trying to...
Because we don't know how to be like, wait, hold on a second. What was he really trying to say? Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Or let's ask him a question without like being really aggressive and understanding where they're coming from. It's instantly... Ah, to the death.
Because I think for the first time humans and humanity, we're at a point in time where we now try to socially construct the way we're supposed to communicate. This is the key thing. When you look at how humans have...
That's a slippery slope there, my friend.
It's important because the way that human beings have progressed over the years, if you were sitting in a cave...
Yeah.
Lighting fire, talking.
Yeah.
You were focused on trying to communicate.
Yeah.
Not telling the person who was using the stone and the rock to carve the stick about how to communicate.
Yeah.
You were trying to work out how do you communicate, not how to communicate. There's a distinct difference there. So they were able to evolve and communicate.
There's lack of trial and error.
Freely.
Yeah.
Through trial and error. Non-judgment and communicate, therefore well, now, they evolved.
What I'm saying is now there's lack of trial and error.
Human beings now communicate, but everything is being filtered through a construct about how you should communicate.
Yeah.
What you should and shouldn't say when you communicate, which is a very distinct point in the evolution of human beings.
Yeah.
Because that in and of itself, because now you're going down to linguistics and the way the brain works because of language and patterns.
And there's barriers as well.
And because when you look at things like neurocognitive therapy or linguistics, like programming and all these type of things, it very, very much relies on language. And language determines emotion, and emotion changes behaviors, and behaviors ultimately change evolution.
What would be the language?
Evolution.
What would be the language on Mars?
Obviously, an evolved version of what we are now.
What's that?
But I would think that eventually it would be some digital slash human interface.
Using the fact that Elon Musk has developed, or is in the process of developing, Neuralink, where essentially you don't actually have to communicate physically. You just read someone's thoughts.
I think
because it's on a hard drive.
I think you would.
A cloud, so to speak.
I think that, would become a blur between language, the creation of emotion.
Yeah.
Emotion will evolve into something that is so far advanced.
Emotion will be the language.
That emotion will be the language, whereby our understanding of words, images, touch will be taken out of it, so they're no longer variables.
Yeah.
The emotional part that evolves from all of those variables will become the interpretation of the language, mm-hmm. and therefore it is at its purest form.
Yeah.
And by that means, there is no...
Because through body language, you can understand what someone from another language is trying to say.
Just by simply being in the presence.
Yeah.
Which means they are so far evolved, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you can't... it's hard to lie.
Yeah.
It's hard to miscommunicate. It's hard to judge because it's at its purest form. Which means eventually there are problems... And if this has already happened... Now, you can even link your spiritual hat into this right now,
mm-hmm.
right? If you want to really, truly parallel science and religion at the same time,
yeah.
this is a gray line for a lot of people.
Yeah.
This is the point. If you can look at both at the same time by watching the show and not worrying about whether they agree or not.
Just watch it.
Then you get to this point where you can start asking interesting questions. Is consciousness, right? It's going to dip deep. Is consciousness the purest evolved form in the future of that emotion feeling that we just spoke about being the language? Is that what consciousness is? Because if you get consciousness and consciousness, they already know before they don't know.
Yeah.
And you can have consciousness correlated from one part of the world or the universe to another with no connection, and you could argue that because of correlation, they can communicate and they just understand.
Yeah.
Take it another step further. Is that not God? Is that not spirituality? Is that not the afterlife? I don't know.
Yeah, nobody knows.
Nobody knows. But it's the breakdown between... It's the gap between now and... It's the gap between the math now
yeah.
and what we don't know closed.
Yeah.
And that is like... tens of millions of years into the future, potentially, from an evolutionary point of view.
Yeah.
But sitting back, watching the show...
It's cool to watch.
I'm thinking now, like, it feels like a sci-fi movie when you start to potentially unwind and correlate all of these things.
Yeah. So a lot to process in that, what you're saying. It's kind of like, we're going back to, you know, the hypothetical of going to Mars. It's almost like, do we even need to do something so drastic? I know the human race is to a certain degree. Maybe our kids won't even be here to see the demise. I'm not sure. Who knows? But it's like there's something so drastic need to occur for us to correct what is going wrong.
Yes.
I guess, typical JTW style, I'm sitting on the fence on this one because I kind of feel like there's a way to fix it.
Now?
I don't know if it happens now. I'm just saying we have the foundations in front of us, but for whatever reason, for so many different pulls, and I'm not going to get into all the different reasons why people can't get to a point of accountability and humility because of their own selfishness, essentially. But we've got the tools in front of us. We understand what we need to do to be better, but we rather be drastic and go to a different planet because that's... It's sometimes a huge physical, because it's a physical change. Like, that's legitimately, you would know, obviously, how far Mars is from Earth. But that's like
logistically, it's a big leap forward.
It's a
big there's a logistic hurdle even, there. Even is huge.
Just the construction of going to something. It's the magnitude of that is incomparable.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? So I'm kind of thinking, are we going to focus all our energy of the logistics of going to somewhere else where we can put all that energy into fixing what we've got?
Yes.
I think both can be done, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
But it's like, we have the tools, the foundation base of knowing what we need to do to watch the movie, as opposed to making everybody feel like everybody's watching us.
Mm.
People have really bad... Sometimes people have this idea that not that they're concerned that people aren't watching them, but they're more concerned about what other people are thinking as well.
Mm.
I wonder if that guy's watching me. I wonder what he's thinking about me. There's so much thought in wanting to control something that they actually have no control over.
Mm.
I think that's where the problem is, control. Wanting to control so many pieces of the puzzle where people putting energy into things where, like I always say to my boys, there's no point in stressing about something that you physically have no control over.
Mm-hmm.
Put your energy into something tangible
that you can handle.
Because stressing about a hypothetical that someone may have done this or said that
takes you away from watching your movie right now here on Earth.
Exactly.
Yeah, it does, 100%.
So imploring things like accountability and humility and just being aware and consciously aware of what you are doing to the best of your ability, because you will make mistakes.
Yeah.
If everyone implored just that little bit,
mm.
maybe the drasticness of going to a different planet's not completely necessary, but it would be freaking cool.
Yeah. At the moment, if I look at all indicators that point to whether or not humans are taking those actions right now and using those tools right now,
no.
All signs are pointing to no for me.
You know, actually, I'll say no, but I'll say yes at the same time. I feel
I think people are trying.
Going back to what you were saying with the fork in the road, in that respect, yes. I think there is so much pull to people saying, hey, look over here, let's implore X, Y, Z. And then there's so much pull on the other side. Like this fork has been bent. It's not a fork like a fork is like if you remove the middle part of the fork,
That's
like it splits. This is like a T section.
Yes.
There's not even a slight variance.
That is a divergence in evolution. Like, you're going west,
I'm going east. You can't go or north, south, whatever. We are going completely different ends.
Precisely. That's the exact full circle of what I was saying. Yeah. We are at a point now where human beings, this goes all the way back to the start, where human beings are not doing the things that they need to do because they are trying to control the way we communicate. They're trying to dictate what should happen. They don't treat each other well. The world's doing whatever it is, good or bad.
Mm.
We're doing a lot of good things trying to push people in the right direction. We're doing a lot of bad things that are pushing people in another direction. Whatever the catalyst is for the divergence, it is happening, regardless of what it is. Someone can go and create that list of things. It doesn't matter. It's irrespective. The point is there is a fork, and that fork is splitting.
I'd probably say a T-section.
But there's a divergence in the evolutionary path right now where there's a split, and I think we are watching in real time that split happen. Yeah. That might take 10 years. Oh. It might take 10,000 years. And the grand scheme of things, the point doesn't matter, but I think we're at the start of the next split. That's my curiosity this week.
Okay. That's a lot of stuff happening in your brain cells there, man. You've obviously, I know you have, but you've obviously been thinking about this a lot lately.
I'm constantly thinking about stuff like this.
Yeah. All right. I'm very much only because there's just so much stuff happening and going back to a couple of episodes where I said I needed to slow down and be like aware of everything, especially like my family stuff. I kind of feel like I'm using the approach ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
Only because of like my sanity, because there could be,
it's true.
You can be infiltrated with too much crap.
Too much stuff.
And it can bring you down about what's happening here and the election and this person and that person. This person. It's just, if you go down the rabbit hole, so to speak.
Yeah, I agree.
And let's just understand the fact that the reason why people go down the rabbit hole, the innate reason why people go down a rabbit hole is because they have, to the core, they want the best for the race or themselves. And it starts with them and then it projects everywhere else. Everyone had the reason why people go down a rabbit hole of conspiracies or whatever is because they want to find out the truth, because the truth
is better than what they think the reality is.
Exactly.
Yes.
But going down the rabbit hole, you may never get out of the rabbit hole.
No.
So and I see what you're saying. I know why you're going down that path. I get it. Don't discredit it. I think there's probably somewhere in the middle. I kind of feel like too many of me at the moment is probably not the best thing for the earth, because too much ignorance isn't necessarily bliss, because things can be slid under the carpet without nobody knowing.
Yep.
But too much rabbit hole, I'm not saying you're a rabbit hole, but too much rabbit hole can also do the same thing.
Because it nothing happens then. It's just too much doomsday, nothing happens.
Too much
then.
Doomsday and nothing. Yeah, too much bark, no bite. Too much... You know, there's not enough substance. There's just too much idiot. And even the idiots that are down the rabbit hole, some of them don't even agree with each other. They're trying. Everyone's trying so hard with their ego. Again, another terrible human trait is trying to establish themselves as, no. This my idea of what's happening is better than your idea. But it's really, I'm like, hold on a second. You guys are actually fighting about the same thing. Fighting for the same thing.
That's right. Ultimately, no one person will change humanity.
That's why I always go default. You know what, man? It's just...
People can plant seeds. People can start to propagate changes.
Yeah.
But it requires a group of individuals to be able to continue... I kind of feel like
if everyone has a little bit of that ignorance is bliss, but also kind of like, you know, as we were saying before, accountability, humility, watching the movie... all together or watching whatever it is in front of us, I think it's a very slow progression. But I feel like it's almost like there's too that when people create too much noise, it's almost inflammatory.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's happening in the background. Whatever it is happening is already happening. We're just giving it more light.
Yeah. But I would also say that sometimes you need pockets of inflammatory. Sometimes you need pockets of suppression.
Of course.
But there needs to be, in order to... The only way to shift things forward is because one, at any one point in time, one has more swing than the other.
Yeah, of course.
And it's 100%. This constant two steps forward, one step back. Yeah. And it's constantly moving back and forth. And
you
can't
not just be like... Because it's a classic one. It happens in my line of work. Like someone will come in post-surgery and, you know, we're working on, you know, improving their range of motion in their shoulder, for example.
Yeah.
There's a certain level of manual therapy that needs to go ahead to improve the range of motion.
Mm.
But it freaking hurts. So what do? Do you just leave the arm in the sling because manual therapy hurts and be content with 60, 65% range of motion?
Yeah.
Or do you use a manual therapist and physiotherapist to break down scar tissue, push you past your limits, stretch, strengthen, cause pain in order to get to 85 to 95% range of motion.
Yeah.
The road is long. It's painful. But what do? You could very easily just go, I've done the surgery. Shoulder's fixed now. I'm content with 65%. I'm going to leave it like this. All good. There's technically nothing wrong with that. You haven't done anything that's sore. But are we maximizing what we could do as a human race?
Mm. Yeah, that's right. I agree. It's a good analogy. And it's the type of analogy that you can scale all the time.
Yeah.
You can scale it down, you can scale it up.
And there's no real, like, you don't go through the pain if you don't get manual therapy. Like, there's literally no pain. It's like, once the surgery's done, it's like, oh, I'm cool.
Yeah. Like, and you made one last thing. I mean, you made a good point. There's so much stuff happening around at the moment that it almost gets intoxicating.
Mm-hmm.
And
It's
too much noise. And this is why I start to think about this kind of thing.
We mucked around last night. It's like going to a restaurant with five pages of menu.
Yeah.
It's like we need to simplify...
The entrees.
And the mains. It should be like half a dozen entrees, half a dozen mains, two desserts. Yeah, you might not get exactly what you want.
But you'll enjoy your three-course meal.
You'll enjoy your
cruise. Yeah. And it's true. This is one thing, and I don't know whether it's linked to the current cycling or my time or what, but... There's just so much noise happening at the moment, and I find myself sometimes going down the rabbit hole. And because of self-awareness, I'm like, I need to stop now.
You need to get out.
And the only thing that I'm finding and this is going to sound a little bit eccentric, but the only thing that's calming me at the moment
Okay.
Is trying to understand the language of everything around us. And to me, that's numbers. So,
so the maths. So your maths is
hold
your,
on a second. This is important.
Your maths
is
your point. Pacifier, essentially.
It is, man. I'm telling you. Because I'm like, it's the only thing.
It's like your adult dummy.
It's the only thing that I can control, understand.
That's a good one.
That doesn't judge, that doesn't dictate, that doesn't point fingers, that doesn't blame. The numbers are the numbers. The numbers right now.
The numbers are speaking true to you.
The numbers are proceeding. This is going back to the original thing we were talking about before, about the emotion turning.
There's no emotion in numbers.
Hold on. The numbers just precede the emotion.
Okay.
So for me, I'm at this safe spot inside understanding the language of everything around us, which is the numbers that's happening before the evolution of everything we know now and the language before the purest form of the emotion.
I just got this image in my head, like even Nat sitting down watching TV at night. She just like turns the TV on. The first thing comes up is like some catastrophic bullshit on CNN. And you'd be like, where's my Pythagoras theorem?
You know what?
I was like,
You know what?
Most babies, they'll be like, oh, happy days. And like a big scary movie comes on, like, give me my dummy. And like a pacifier, they put it in.
Without a shadow of a doubt, she's literally sitting on the lounge. She's watching TV series. I get to this point where I'm feeling like a critical mass of like...
You're anxious.
Despair about the world. And I'm like, I need numbers. I literally open up a calculus book and I'm doing math. And it's the only thing that allows me to calm down at the moment.
Oh, shit. That's so funny. You know, most people like have a physical outlet or a mental outlet. So some might read, some might write. Most will read or write. Most will go, it's just stressful. I need to go to the gym. I need to go to my kickboxing class. There's this certain level of exertion that needs to occur to suppress the noise.
Yes.
And you're like, I need my maths.
I literally said that to her. I'm going to need to do some maths. She goes, yes, you do.
She's like, I could just imagine that because she like, in a funny way, she can be... only towards you, but because you guys have got this, like, you know, every husband, wife, or partners have their like
internal
level
of
banter. You know what I mean? And she's got this like funny way of like, not suppressing you. She's got this funny way of like
putting me down.
Yeah, she's likely to be like you're going down this tangent, and she just pulls out this like notepad of like just go to your room, do your maths, please. Just calm down.
in her own way, and in her own mathematical way, she has a very unique way of being able to differentiate me.
All right.
Well, while I try and integrate life.
On that note, we'll wrap this one up. If you guys liked today's show and you want to contribute to the madness.
I have to apologize. That was a deep show.
We had a concept, as we normally do, to how the show is going to go, but we have a habit of going deep down the rabbit hole. But it was good. Let us know how
that was a strange journey.
Let us know how crazy you thought that was or how good it was. JourneyToWherever.com. And like always, just
tell a friend.
One friend, just say, guys, I listened to this show last week, episode 71. These dudes are off their face. I'm sure they are smoking mushrooms.
There is nothing here except a can of V. I've never touched drugs.
And you know what? Tell them how crazy our mushroom session was. I don't know, but no mushrooms. Just cans of V. But yeah, JourneyToWherever.com. Tell a friend.
Exactly. Have a great week, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for giving us the platform to be able to talk to you, share our thoughts, our craziness. Really humbled. Really appreciate it. And we'll catch you on the next episode of Journey to Wherever.
All right,
bye.
Guys. See ya. Bye. You know what you needed just then?
What?
Like, you know, remember the X-Files intro music? Yeah. Is that the one?
I can't remember the tune of that.
You didn't watch X-Files?
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Hold on a second. You didn't watch X-Files?
Nah, it was my thing.
What the?
Yeah, nah. Scully and Mulder. I used to watch sparingly every now and then. I bet you if I went and watched it now,
you'd go I would probably bananas like it. Down the rabbit
now
hole.
Now I would. But back then I was like,
I'm
nah.
Shocked you're not an X-Files guy.
No, I wasn't.
I was an X-Files. Well, kind of. But like... Well, Phil's on.
I'd probably enjoy it
back in the day when we had to wait till 8:30 for a show to come on.
I'd probably enjoy it now. Now that you said it, I might go and watch the first episode and see if I like it and see if I get hooked.
I think you might have to do like a binge, like a, maybe a half a dozen episodes to kind of see if you catch on to it.
Sorry if I took you down a rabbit hole there, man.
Oh, man, I'm always...
I was like, oh, I think, you know, we're going down talking about Mars colonization, and we ended up getting to, like, the source of life.
We were going down the motorway, and then you decided to take the scenic route, and I was like, ah, it's okay, twists and bends, all good. I'm happy to go with you.
Anyway.
All right, man.
All right, catch you later. Bye. See
ya, bye.